hold on. Let me tell my sign.
Who am I without you? I said I'm the same ass dude. You wanna call me brand new like it's all my fault, but that's what you won't do. Nah, don't try to start me. Think I'm your John T or Paul McCartney. Call me a wall, nothing on the marquee, but we both co-headline the party. Yeah, you were right beside me. Next day try to criticize me. You used to love me, now you despise me. But at this point, nothing could surprise me. I know.
With the world's number one burning oil / air freshener. That's right, there's a burning oil that we developed that you can spray as well. No added chemicals, no added colors. That's right, give us a call today at 404-286-6700. Or come on by Heavenly Body Products at 2571 Park Center Boulevard in Decatur, Georgia. Get your supplies today. Start your own business. That's right, ChronicKillers.com. We keep the hood smelling good.
work. Come on, let's work, work. Come on, let's work it to the bone. Come on, let's work. To the bone, 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 come on, let's work. To the bone, 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 come on now, work me to the bone, 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 let's work me to the bone, bone, bone. I will work you to the bone, 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 I will work you to the bone, 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 let's work. To the bone.
What's up, everybody? You are now tuned into the BBC show on WTT Radio. I am Sir Ken, a.k.a. The Don. I'm also the host of this show, the pilot, the conductor. And yes, I am very, very, very excited today. If this is your first time listening, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. But thank you for tuning in. Make sure the kids are away. This show is for the mature listeners only. Again, this show is for the mature listeners only. That means 21 and up, not 18 and up. And for those of you that don't know, the BBC does not stand for Big Black Cockroach. It stands for the Bicker and Banter with a Coleman. It is June the 26th. Oh, my God. It's June 26th already. That means we are. Wait a minute. Not June. July. July 26th. I'm sorry. It's July 26th. And that means we are already past half of the year. Time has really flown by. Oh, my goodness. Anyway, tonight is going to be very fun all over the place, which is a lot like my personality. But like I always say with everything I do, it is always, well, most of the time with good intentions and always with love. I got a special guest on the air with me tonight, Mr. Wendell James. How you doing, Mr. Wendell James?
I'm freezing because this fan is directly on me.
Okay, but, okay. I'm going to fix that. I'm going to fix that. If I'm going to get you right, I'm going to get you right.
I'm 60, but I'm not having hot flashes.
y'all are not ready for tonight. Like, the shenanigans is going to be on overload. Let me tell y'all, this man is a man of many words that lack none. So you must always be on your P's and Q's when you are in his presence, because he is going to give it to you straight, no chaser. I'm going to tell y'all what he said about me over this weekend, because he came all the way from California. So you know how the Hollywood people are. Let me tell you, he got some stuff to tell y'all about himself. He is somebody big. And when we go to the break, I want y'all to take the time to Google him, as he told me. Google him. So Google Wendell James, for those that don't know who that is. And then be prepared to enjoy the rest of the evening from 7 to 9 tonight of the BBC show. You guys, keep it locked right here on WTT Radio. If you haven't already, go grab yourself a big stiff cocktail during this little intermission. I like all my listeners to be tipsy, so don't act like you don't know. Or as I say, honest. We got a little honest potion going in our bodies, and that's what makes the show more enjoyable, because you guys have the opportunity to call in tonight and talk to us live. We're going to talk about all types of things, like DaBaby and his homophobic rant, Issa Rae and her surprise wedding. Oh my God, y'all see that? I'm gonna tell y'all about my blonde moment when we come back about that as well. And we also going to end the night like we always do with a little bit of our sex segment, okay? Okay? So keep it locked right here. Tell all your friends and their friends to tune right now. And we'll be back after this.
Catch the team.
Throw them hands up.
And the all-new WTT Radio.
Look out.
Where we are here for you. Here for you.
It's 12 past midnight. Don't close your eyes. Your soul's up for life, and I'll be by your side. I've come to take you there, show you how to care. Just be aware that you'll have to share. I want your love, I want it tonight. I'm taking your heart, so don't you fight. I'll be your answer, I'll be your wish, I'll be your fantasy, your favorite dish. The middle and around again, I'm gonna be there to the end, 100% pure love. From the back to the middle and around again, I'm gonna be there to the end, 100% pure love. You saw that brand new high, thought that you could fly. Did I hear you cry, or did you like the ride? You call my name again, no, it's not a sin. I'll show you how. I want your love, I want it tonight. I'm taking your heart, so don't you fight. I'll be your answer, I'll be your wish, I'll be your fantasy, your favorite dish. From the back to the middle and around again, I'm gonna be there to the end, 100% pure love. From the back to the middle and around again, I'm gonna be there to the end, 100%. From the back to the middle and around again, I'm gonna be there. to run away. You always have a friend to play. You'll never go out on your own. In me you will find a home. Home. From the back to the middle and around again, I'm gonna be there to the end. 100% feel love. From the back to the middle and around again, I'm gonna be there to the end. 100% feel love. From the back to the middle and around again, I'm gonna be there to the end. 100% feel love. From the back to the middle and around again, I'm gonna be there to the end. 100% feel love.
how it started. My dreams all broken hearted. Did I want you? Baby, we'll never be the same, cause you played those silly games. And yet I want you, girl. They say we were an item. My thoughts I try and hide them. Did I need you? But when we get down to it, I just love the way you do it. And I love you. Love can't turn around.
WTT Radio, your community active station. Spread the word. WTT Radio. It's on fire.
What's good?
Welcome back, all of you Homo sapiens, to the BBC show. The BBC doesn't stand for Big Black Cockatoo, by the way. Ooh, excuse me. My voice going hoarse. It stands for the Bicker and Banter with a Coleman. I am Sir Ken Coleman, the host, the HNIC. And if this is your first time listening to the radio show, you are late to the party. As I said before the music break, I like for all my listeners to tune in with a big, stiff cocktail in their hand. And if it's too big, use two hands. Don't act like you don't know. I got a very special guest in the radio tonight with me, Mr. Hollywood himself, Mr. Wendell James. And if you don't know who he is, I'm going to tell y'all like he told me when I asked for a headshot. He said, a headshot? You better Google me and choose one. I was like, who this Negro thing he is? And child, when I Googled him, trust me, I had a lot of photos to choose from because that means he's a man of many things. Mr. Wendell, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on? Well, first of all, I thought this was a Christian show until you said black cock, and then I was okay. I'm with Satan's secretary. Okay, got it.
Well, you can be a Christian on the show, but this is certainly many things,
well,
but that is not one of them.
When you said that, I said, oh, Jesus.
How you feeling?
Good.
You look fresh and fashionable as always.
Well, you know, I do the best I can with this little frail body of mine.
Oh, we're not even going to talk about little frailness. I'm going to tell y'all. I'm going to tell y'all what he did to me. He has really crushed my self-esteem. We all went to brunch yesterday, right? And we were all just eating, have a great time outside on the patio. And he asked me, he said, how long have, you know, you and Uncle Daddy been together? And I was like, you know, I told him how long it was. And he was like, my goodness. He said, you've gotten so full. He said, when I first met you years ago, you were so skinny. I said, you know what? Geez, thank you. Thank you for telling me in the most nicest way you possibly could that I've gotten fat. Thank you. So for the rest of the week, I'll be eating fried air.
Didn't I follow it up by saying you look good, and I shared with you that I have a little stomach. I even showed you the Spanx top I had on.
I don't want to hear that when you were walking around 115 pounds and I'm walking around 169. I don't want to hear that.
All you need for me is some flies, and you throw them flies on my head, and I'll look like one of those kids on the African commercials with skinny with a big belly.
That you said. Yes.
Skinny with a big belly. All you need is the flies.
Well,
I got a good.
Like I said, I will say that kind of, I mean, I've already.
But you look good.
No, don't try it. And then he's one of people that, he insults you, and then he's going to try to make it better. But I said, well, you look good. You know what? I don't think there's any wrong with being big or full figure, but you gotta know. But wait, the thing is, the difference is you gotta know how to rock it. And I don't know how to rock it. So I need to get rid of it. I can't rock it. I'm not.
You look fine.
No.
You're just fuller than, you know, I haven't seen you. What? I haven't been to Atlanta in a couple of years.
Yeah, the last time we saw each other was in North Carolina. No, South Carolina.
Yeah, somebody said it's been 2 years since I've been here.
Yeah, it's been 2 years.
I've been running lines saying, I ain't been here in 4 years. Somebody said.
Yeah.
I was told it's been two.
He's, let me tell y'all something. This, you got to be quick on your feet, and you got to have skin of titanium when you are around this man. Because let me tell you, he going to give it to you straight, like I say. No filter at all.
Sure I do.
Oh, yeah, sure. Okay, But let's talk about that, this car. Okay, so y'all know I love cars. I'm a car enthusiast. I love cars. And we were at the table. He took me by surprise. I would have never imagined this man to have this car. This car gave me an orgasm, right? So we're all talking, right? Mind you, I'm looking at a little window. He is like literally like, he looks like, if you had a little brother, because I don't have any siblings, but he's like 5'7". He's like all of 99 pounds. And
125 pounds.
Right. And he's over the age of 25. So, like
and
I said.
I'm 60.
Okay.
I say,
60
you know
and
what?
Proud.
I say my age.
Ain't no shame in the game. You doing
it
well.
Blessing.
Let me tell you, you get around younger, better than some of these younger people. You look good. Your fashion sense is a killer. He wears only the flyest, most popular, flashiest, by the way. Liberace Jr.
No,
fashions. Fashions.
Oh, that was a read.
But let me tell you. This guy showed me this car, and I'm looking, and I'm like, what in the world? And I'm like, whose car is this? And he shows me this. I've never seen this car before anyway. First of all, I've never seen this. It was a... What is it? A Maserati?
GT.
GT. It looked like a Lamborghini that...
It's Lambo doors.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah. It was really nice, really expensive. And guess what? This is the kicker. He tells me. So, okay. So, you guys don't know cars. Think of... I know y'all know Lamborghinis and Ferraris. But think of that, but sharper, with the Maserati symbol. And, like, the Lamborghini, the suicide doors, what they call it. So he tells me, I said, oh, my God, this car is sexy. Whose car is this? It's mine. I said, what? So then he says, well, yeah, I got it in white. But see, I don't like white, so I had to get the paint color, a different custom color is blue. So that's what type of caliber this young man is on. You know what I'm saying? You know, some people say they got it and don't have it. He got it.
I'm a simple man with a dream.
Well, it looks like some of those dreams been coming to fruition because clearly...
Oh, God is in the blessing business.
Okay. Ooh. What kind of business?
The Hashabababosolota.
Hashabababooba. How God, you doing?
He's in the blessing business.
So tell the listeners that are listening because I've been running my mouth already too much. I don't want to talk about you. I would like for you to talk about you because I think the best way that you can be depicted is by talking about yourself. Yourself.
Well, I'm probably best known for two things. First, I'm known as the Hollywood husband to comedian actress Kim Whitley. Most people know me that. We used to be on the road, Kim Whitley and David Arnold, the comedy circuit. I would come with Kim's. We get much love from Atlanta, so we've been to Atlanta a lot.
Yes.
And and then for 4 years on Oprah's network, we did a show called Raising Whitley.
I love that show, by the way.
You know how that came about?
How?
So Kim adopts a baby. She was meant, and it's a true story.
It
I
is.
Don't know why people don't think it's a true
it
story.
It was true. I watched the very
Do
beginning.
Do you know how many people say, did she really adopt the baby? I said, you think Oprah going to put us on TV talking about we
That's
adopted
what
the
I
baby
was saying.
And Kim
why
didn't
was
really adopt the baby?
That's what I was thinking. Because I watched it from the very
lying.
Beginning.
Yeah. And the boy's name is Joshua Whitley.
Yeah, yeah.
But people, it's amazing how people ask that. But so Kim adopts this baby boy.
Yes.
She's never had kids.
Yes.
Those of us around her don't, none of us have, I think in the whole village, maybe one person has a child. The rest of us, half of us can't keep men in, we can't keep boyfriend, girlfriends, let alone anything else.
Okay, so wait, I'm going to cut you in because I'm actually a fan of the show. I watched from the very beginning, no lie.
Mm-hmm.
That guy, there was a guy, I don't know his name. Mm-hmm. He's a very, very attractive guy. He's her friend.
Oh, if you say so, Rodney.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So nothing ever happened between them?
No, they just good friends.
Does he have any kids?
Rodney does have kids.
Uh-huh. He is fine.
Oh, okay, if y'all say so.
He's fine.
And he, I don't see him that
he's
way.
He's very chill. He's very calm. He's cool. I like him. I liked him. And I like them together. I think that they have really great chemistry. But they never, like, pursued anything.
That's my story, and I'm sticking with it.
Uh-huh. How you doing? Okay. All right, well.
We all go over to Kim's house. That's, I mean, you know. You have somebody in your circle, and everybody always gather at their house. So we always go into Kim's house and sitting around, and she adopted the baby. Everybody giving her advice. None of us have kids. Well, Rodney has kids, and I think one other, Pamari, might have some. But the rest of us don't, and we giving advice and stuff. Yeah. I guess Oprah said, I can imagine, she said, this is the craziest shit I've ever seen in my life. These people don't know what they do. And gave us a show.
Wow. Now, how did Oprah come into play? Because how did Oprah even know? How did she even knew about it? And
our good friend, your good friend.
Who? Derek?
Derek.
Oh, shout out to Derek. Derek
Oprah's makeup artist.
For a long,
Derek.
Long time.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, Derek.
Wow. That is very big and sweet of him.
Okay, y'all, don't everybody start hitting Derek up.
Don't be hitting Derek up. As for show, because I know Derek, and he ain't gave me no show.
Derek
so don't try him up.
Yeah, Derek ain't doing all that, and Oprah ain't giving you no show.
And
shows.
Let's also make a mental note, too, now. Kim has already built a name and a brand
for herself. Oh, Kim is off the bomb.
Yeah, so it's not like Derek just chose like a random friend of his. It's like right, somebody kind of right. already that's had a right. name for themselves.
That's
so,
right.
you know.
That's right. So, Kim, you know, Oprah had heard of Kim before. Yeah.
You still, I will say, when I watched the show, because when the show first came out, I didn't know who you were. I never met you.
Right.
You stood out. And do you know why you stood out to me?
I'm scared to ask.
You stood out to me because you had that long ass, you had like 28 inches of hair.
Cut all
it
my hair off now.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
And it was all his.
Yeah.
All his. It was beautiful. And you know who it reminded me of?
Don't say it.
I'm sure everybody said it to
who you. Say? Don't say
the
it.
The guy from Earth, Wind, and Fire.
I do not look like Bernie. You need to stop it.
Yes,
you
do.
But you know, me and Elgin Charles, you know, our hair, we had the same hairstylist.
For real?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Elgin Charles. He used to be married to Jack A. from 227.
No, yes.
Yeah. Her ex-husband, Elgin Charles. Yeah. Elgin, so you go in the salon. Well, we go in a certain part of the salon. I be coming in, coming out. Verdeen be going in, coming out.
Looking one way, and you come Diane out the same way.
Diane Carroll be coming in, coming out.
Wow.
Nan Nicole be coming in. We all be going in.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Elgin was our stylist.
Now, I got to ask you, why did you cut all that beautiful long hair off?
Because last year I turned 60.
Yes.
And I wanted a totally, 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 totally new look.
Okay, but you could have did it with the hair you had.
So now Sir Tony does my hair.
Okay, where's Sir Tony? He's based out in L.A.?
Yeah, Sir Tony. Yeah, now see, Sir Tony do, he do Lettuce, he do Shaka Khan.
I love Shaka. Yeah. I love Shaka.
So now he does my hair because, you know, he do the more... hip hop, you know, he does all them, the, you know, them styles you see Lettucey with and stuff. Yeah, see, he does all that.
And seeing you guys can't see Mr. Winter right now, but he has a very fly, funky, fresh hairdo. He has
it's all shaved on the side.
I call it a funky, fresh, curly pompadour. But it's not like a pompadour where it's curled up like in a big curl. It's really like tons of curls on top going forward. If you guys are familiar with the singer, Daily. You know the white boy Daily? I have to play a song for you when we go back to the house.
His hair is like this?
His like that. Oh. His name is Daily. He's a white boy and he sings.
Oh, he stole my look.
Yeah, he sure did. Mm-hmm. And he has a song with Jill Scott that I love.
Okay.
So yeah, he had hair like that. But that's how Wendell looks, you guys.
Yeah, so I just wanted a whole new look. I didn't ask agents or managers because, you know, you show up looking different. They're going to be like, and you know, your cast, sometimes they cast you based on what they see. Here's, and my thing about that, I get cast and you want that look, put a wig on me, you have that look, boom.
Yeah, you can do it because nowadays everybody wearing lace fronts.
So I didn't ask nobody. I said, I'm going to just cut my hair because I wanted to keep it shaved on the sides and all that. Yeah. So give me a whole new look.
Wow. You know, I see why you and Kim are friends because she's always been like a friend in my head because she
is
so
crazy.
But you are the same way.
Yeah, but you know how we became friends?
How?
Okay, somebody told me when you go to Hollywood, they said you don't have any acting credits, Wendell. So this is 20 years. You don't have any acting credits, so you just can't go to Hollywood and say, boom, here you are. You got to have a gimmick.
Uh-huh.
So I started a clothing line. Listening to people.
Wait.
So I started a clothing line.
So this was, you moved to California and started.
I was already in California.
Okay,
you were
already there.
And
okay.
I was running a business for adults with developmental disabilities, which I still do today.
Oh, so that means you have a big heart.
You know.
Whoever would have known that?
Considering I got called fat yesterday. And I was in the Oakland area.
Shout out to Oakland.
Yeah. And one day I was sitting on the edge of the bed and said, gee, Wendell, you could go to Hollywood. You got the look.
You definitely got the look.
So off I went to Hollywood. It was just that simple. But then they said, well, you got to have a gimmick. So I hired a white publicist. Shout out to all the white folks. And then I did a clothing line. And then I wanted to throw a launch party for the clothing line.
Yeah.
And I wanted to have little chicken wingettes and little sides of greens and stuff. And so she said, you can't have chicken wings and you can't have. I said, I'm paying for this party. I can have what the hell I want. And I fired her, hired a black publicist, Reed.
Oh, huh,
and Reed
no
is
wonder.
My publicist.
To this day.
To this day.
So what did that tell you people? There are some black people. There are actually a lot of black people that are professional in high places that can actually help you soar higher. So don't always think, oh, because it's white, it's right, you know?
Mm-hmm. And when Reese, so Reese said, I said, I want to do a launch party. I said, now, who's that actress? I said, she's light-skinned. She got big bazoomas.
Yes,
what's her name? I couldn't even think of Kim's name. What's her name? And so Reese said, is she on BET? And I think at that time, she had just come off an old drama, I think. She had a, because Kim had a talk show called Old Drama BET.
Uh-huh.
And so Reese said, Kim Whitley? I said, yeah, the comedian actor. I said, find out what her asking price is to help me host. And it must not have been too high because she was hired. And her helping me host a launch party for a clothing line. And we became friends after that.
Wow.
And then, you know, now you know what a Hollywood husband is?
Yes.
Most people
don't. It's like a beard, right?
No, because everybody, no, it's not like a beard. No. Hollywood husband is she gets the perks of a husband, but we can run men together. We can, you know. She can let me go on a date with a man. So what does she need you for? See, that's what a Hollywood husband.
Oh, like when she goes to red carpets and events where she needs a date.
No. That's not Hollywood. Hollywood husband, you get the perks of a husband. The furnace breakdown in the house, I'll call somebody and pay and put a whole new furnace in the house. She need a car, I'll go, you know, make sure the car taken care of, make sure the insurance. You know,
what?
Yeah.
You
get a perks of a husband and you ain't got to sleep with him and you can let him go sleep with other men.
Wait a minute. So isn't that like a sugar daddy?
No. See, there you go, turn it into something simple.
Because, I mean, if I'm calling a man to come fix my pipes, or lay the pipe, mm-hmm. or get me a car, that sounds like sugar daddy-ish.
Kim never said get me a car, but I'm just saying, if I have an extra car and I think she needs one here, you just take that and use that car, and yeah. That's a Hollywood husband. You get the perks of a husband, and you ain't got to sleep with him.
But why would you want? I guess I can see why any woman or gay man would want that. But I mean, how did you benefit from that?
It's not about benefit. You see how I'm looking at you, boy? I wish I had screens in here.
He gave me a puzzle face.
Yeah, it's not me benefiting because I didn't need Kim. You know. For her name or thing, because you know we met because I hired her to co-host in an event.
Yeah, yeah.
So I just became her Hollywood husband. Well, Oprah thought enough of it to give us a show,
and she did a great job. I liked it. Y'all had like what, 4 seasons?
Uh huh.
It was good. Mm-hmm. It was good, and yeah. I really like
Joshua. We started that show. Joshua was like
a baby.
Yeah, he was like 6 months old.
And now he's walking around talking.
He's 10.
He's 10.
He loves fashion, so my job is done there. He has dreadlocks.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Well, you make sure. What's his name? Rob, you said?
Who?
The guy I like.
Rodney.
Rodney.
Yeah. A lot of people like Rodney, actually.
Ask him if he has any open slots to be a Hollywood husband. Is that what you call
it? Yeah.
Like, I don't need him for anything else. I got Uncle Daddy for all that. But, I could make a little phone call.
People think Rodney and I really don't like each other. I mean, we've had.
I know a lot of fans do,
and I probably told them off last week. I think, but I mean, you know,
it's all family.
Yeah, but people, the thing about the show is we didn't manufacture our relationship. For TV, we are authentically a group of people that hang out over Kim's house, eat, drink, move to the kitchen. Then there's fights. People get cussed out. We giving her opinions on Joshua. We ain't none of us have kids. It's really all Oprah did is put a camera on what really goes on. And to this day, we are all still around each other.
And that's what it's about. It's like, you know, family, you mm-hmm. bicker and your banter. Mm-hmm. Speaking of bicker and banter,
mm-hmm.
you guys keep it locked right here on WTT Radio. I am Sir Ken. I got special guest Wendell James. We got some more stuff to dish, but before we do, we're going to give y'all an intermission to go get y'all a refill on those cocktails. So keep it locked right here, and we'll be back after this hot banger.
Ah!
in to the all-new WTT Radio.
Right now.
Where the music lives.
Hey, they know. Rap. I'm back. Okay, Rama gon' snap. This that, ooh, bring it back. They wanna come on down, need not an act. Can't hit the road unless they got racks. I really do this.
Boy, I do.
Make them dance.
Make them dance.
Boy, they clueless.
They
I got fans.
And
the ladies know.
Hey. All the ladies know.
And the ladies know.
Hey.
Get set, ready, go. Turn up. If the money right, I show up. Cause the ladies know I'ma grab the mic and make them all get low. Oh yeah, I'm back. Dade County Fat Mac. Tryna get a lot of your sacks. Baby, tell me how you learn that. That stick, stick what you got. 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 Point at your dog. Point at your dog. Trip what you got. Fly what you got. That stick. Money right, and my beer red. Can we play a game? Simon said, whatever I say, you must do. If I say go, you get low. How low can you go? 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 Pick it up, now take it down. 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 Do it, baby. 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 Jiggle out, baby. Jiggle out. Jiggle out.
you. Well, all right, you squares. You know, it's time to get up for the downstroke. Ain't no joke. We going back like that, you know what I'm saying? Afros, pics, afro puffs, you know, rough and stuff. You know, cause God made me funky. I believe that. Straight to the bone. Oh yeah, you know, swinging a beat like this makes me wanna go back, you know, back in the 70s, you know. Something like my man James Brown would say. Hey, yeah, you know, God made me funky, and I'm just glad he made me that way. Cause you gotta get ready. Don't let that bus splash you by. You know what I'm saying? Soul brothers, soul sisters, put your fists in the air, saying yeah. Something on a real old school tip. Oh yeah. You know, all I can say is that God made me funky, and I'm glad he blessed me that way. Yeah. Now that's what I'm screaming. You know, we gotta get together, clean up them neighborhoods, make it better, make it all good. And it starts within. You know, it's time to put up or shut up. You know, we gotta make a change somehow, some way. As my man Visual would say. Oh yeah. You know that God made me funky. And I'm glad he blessed me that way. Yeah. Get up for the downstroke. And once again, well alright you squares. Yeah. It's time to move on, groove on, before you get loosed on. You know God made me funky, and I'm glad he made me that way. Yeah. Taking off on that spaceship up to, you know, the funkiness, the primeness. Yeah. Must I say it again? Hell yeah. God made me funky, and I'm glad he blessed me that way. Cause I'm one funky brother. Now when I'm talking about the funk, I'm not talking about a smell, you know what I'm saying? I'm talking about a groove. It's a groove that most brothers can't achieve. You know what I'm saying? You got to be funky to get some of this, you know what I'm saying? To understand a groove like this, you got to be funky. And if you ain't funky, I don't worry about it. Cause you can't understand my groove. My groove is so perplexed, you know, comes from a way back, you know. Like I said, George Clinton, James Brown. Yeah, back in them times. You know, when funk is all we had, you know what I'm saying? You know God made me funky, and I'm glad he blessed me that way.
WTT Radio, your community active station. Spread the word. WTT Radio. It's on fire.
That's good.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the BBC show. I am Sir Kim. I'm losing my voice. I don't know what's going on. What's going on? My voice. Probably from the weekend festivities. I mean, I was out every single night from Thursday up until last night. And I think my age is starting to take effect of my body. But then again, my special guest that I have on radio tonight, Wendell James, he's 60. And he can hang. He can hang. I mean, you was holding more than I was.
Yeah, but you know, I'm in the bed, though, by 10 o'clock eating snacks.
But you was in the bed when you was here. You ain't been in the bed since you been here. You was out with us late.
Yeah, but since I've been here.
But you,
I get back, 10 o'clock, I'm in the bed eating dinner and snacks.
See, that's how Uncle Daddy is. Mm-hmm. But you were a good sport. You hung out. Let me tell you something. Last night, I was like, probably around 8 o'clock, I was ready to go home. I was so tired. I was starting to get irritated. But I was a good team player. I think we stayed out. What time did I leave? I think it was like maybe 11?
Yeah. You stayed through the therapy session.
Oh, my God. You've been real messy. We ain't going to talk about that. But anyway, you guys, it is. Wait, I'm confused. Is it July or is it June? It's July, yes. It's July the 26th, the 26th day of Black History Month. That's right. Here on the BBC show, I'm celebrating all month long, every single month, for the rest of the year. So with that being said, we will have a Black History moment that you probably didn't know existed. That's because they probably didn't teach you it in school, nor show it on TV. Hell, they ain't even doing it right now. You know, I always say, Black people have contributed more to this country and this world besides picking cotton and showing y'all how to twerk. So normally, I let Uncle Daddy handle the Black history, but Uncle Daddy isn't here tonight. Wendell is. But Wendell did not prepare because I didn't ask him, but I'm pretty sure if I did, he can spit something. But I'm going to take over Uncle Daddy's segment with his part of the show that he normally does when he's on the show and tell you guys about a lady named Mary Ellen Pleasant. Do you know who that is, Wendell? You ever heard of her name?
Mm-hmm.
No, you haven't. For real?
Well, I wasn't going to say no on the radio.
You're so silly. You lied to me. You lied. Well, you lied.
Hey, if you want to know the truth, no.
Now, he going to sit here and say, he don't even know who she is. But anyway, you guys, Mary Ellen Pleasant was an entrepreneur and activist. And so I am going to tell you guys about her, okay? Mary Ellen Pleasant's exact origins are fuzzy. She may have begun her life as a slave in the 1810s in Georgia, but it's equally possible that she was born free in Philadelphia. We do know that she was indentured early in life to a Nantucket shopkeeper from whom she learned the basics of running a business. She's also learned about the abolitionist movement since the shopkeeper's family were diehard abolitionists. A marriage to a wealthy free landowner named J.J. Smith, who was also an abolitionist, both solidified her fortune and advanced the cause. The Smiths worked to help slaves escape to the North and funded abolitionist causes, including, it is said, John Brown's raid on Harper's Ferry. So you guys look that up in your free time. But anyway, after Pleasant's husband died young, she headed west to San Francisco, which at the time was an almost lawless town. She worked as a cook and a servant in rich people's homes until she was able to start her own boarding house, which would be the first of many. Pleasant was a familiar fixture in the houses of the wealthy during the period of the gold rush, as were the servants she began to train and place there. It is said that she used the information she gained from her proximity to wealth to increase her own assets. She cunningly invested her money and soon amassed a startling personal fortune based on stocks, real estate, and a series of businesses, including laundries and food establishments, that made her one of the growing city's major entrepreneurs. At her peak, you guys, listen to this. At her peak, she was estimated to be worth $30 million, an astonishing sum for the period. As Pleasant became a powerful woman, she continued her work for the civil rights, often in the courts. Shortly after the Civil War, she sued one streetcar company for not allowing black people on their line and sued another that permitted segregation. She won both cases. She became known in the black community for her philanthropy and very public support for civil rights, which was unusual for a woman and doubtly unusual for a woman of color. She used her money to defend wrong black people and spent thousands in legal fees, becoming a hero to a generation of African Americans in California. Unfortunately, Pleasant's later life was tough. She supported the case of a woman engaged in a marriage dispute with a senator from Nevada, which hurt her financially and politically when the woman lost. The death of her financial partner, Thomas Bell, threw her affairs into turmoil, and his widow challenged Pleasant's rights to most of her holdings. Yellow journalists branded her Mammy Pleasant, accusing her of everything from murdering Thomas Bell to putting into her households under voodoo spells. Pleasant, it is said, once maintained a friendship with New Orleans voodoo queen Maureen LaVue, which I'm going to talk about her next week, so you guys make sure to tune in. But anyway, Pleasant's vast fortune was lost, and she died in poverty in 1904. You guys, y'all know what I'm thinking, $30 million to poverty in just a matter of, like, what, 60 years, 50 years? Fortunately, her sullied reputation as Mammy has not defined her life. Today, she is more commonly remembered as the mother of civil rights in California. And that is my black history fact that you probably didn't even know existed. You guys, keep it locked right here on WTT Radio. When I come back, I got a few questions to ask Mr. Wendell James before we go into this nonsense surrounding the baby. Keep it locked right here on WTT Radio. We'll be right back.
Catch the team.
Throw them hands up.
On the all new WTT Radio.
Look out.
Where we are here for you.
Now this is how it started. My dreams all broken hearted. Did I want you? Baby, we'll never be the same. Cause you played those silly games. And yet I want you. Girl, they say we were an item. My faults I try and hide them. Did I need you? Uh-huh. But when we get down to it, I just love the way you do it. And I love you. Love can't turn around.
Too.
What's up, everybody? It's Sir Ken Coleman, host of the BBC show, which stands for The Bicker and Banter with a Coleman. Make sure to follow us on all social media platforms at the BBC show and visit us on the web at thebbcshow.com. Set a reminder on your phone every Monday, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard to tune in, listen to us live, because there's enough BBC for everybody. Hey, 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 shout out to that plug-in of mine. Hey, I'm getting good at this, Welcome back, everybody, to the BBC show. Man, the time has gone by so fast. I'm so glad my friend came to be on the radio show with me tonight, Mr. Wendell James. Thank you, friend.
No problem.
Did you enjoy it?
It's been fun.
It's been fun. You see the lights? Mm. It's getting dark outside. The lights are starting to light up in here.
Studio got the disco lights.
Yeah, we got a disco lights.
Oh, that's butterflies flying.
Butterflies
around.
Hanging from the ceiling, child. We got butterflies hanging from the ceiling and the neon lights glowing, getting you ready for the night, for the last turn up before you have to go all the way back to Cali.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going back to Cali. Cali, you don't know that song, do you? No, you don't.
I'm much too old.
Yeah, at least you be honest.
Yeah, you know.
Speaking of, okay, so we have. On the show, we always have questions of the day. In our case, for the week, because the show is only once a week. So my first question to you is, and you guys that are listening, if you want, you have about 15 minutes to call in to the radio show live. It is 833-833. That's too many threes. I'm sorry. 833-BBC1. Okay, again, that number is 833-THE-BBC-1.
Ooh, you got to know the alphabet.
Yes, and if you don't know the alphabet, it is 833-843-2221. Mm. So the first question is for you, Wendell.
Mm-mm.
The question of the day is, what would you tell your 16-year-old self?
About anything?
About anything. Like just something that you feel would, you know, help. Or, you know, just what would you tell your 16-year-old self that you didn't know then that you know now that you think would help you become, like, a better or great person or appreciative or just anything?
Well, let's see. I left home at 15, so I don't recommend that. Kids, stay in school. Sure, I turned out okay, but I learned a lot from my mistakes.
Okay.
That's not quite what you asked me, but I would say at 60 to the 15-year-olds, learn from your mistakes. Stay in school. Because, you know, at 15, when you leave home, you haven't graduated from high school and all of that. I could have saved myself a lot of headaches, but I lived on the streets and all that. But I say it's helped me be a better man of who I am today.
Did you ever live on the street? When you
yes.
For real?
Yeah, you got to wait for my book. Tried to prostitute.
I was
going
to say, you're going to have to write a book about
tried
that.
Tried to sell my body.
What?
Yes. On the streets. I couldn't stand inclements of the weather and standing on my feet too long, so that didn't work for me. Yes!
So what made you decide to leave home so early?
I hated my childhood. I hated the whippings from my mother. So I left.
Wow. Where'd you grow up? Where were you born?
Ohio.
Wow. Okay.
And I left, yeah.
Okay.
So everything I've accomplished, with the grace of God.
Wow, you got a great story to tell. Mm-hmm. I'll be very interested in reading that.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to put it in the pamphlet.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I got to put mine in my little book that I'm working on. But mm-hmm. I would say what I would tell my 16-year-old self is to never compromise your authenticity. I remember growing up, I've always been myself, but I think where me being myself could have created so much more magic, it was mm-hmm. moments where I dimmed my authentic self to try to fit in with the in crowd,
oh.
to fit in with the guys that came across more masculine mm-hmm. or, you know, more popular. Mm-hmm. But I didn't realize until after I got older,
mm-hmm.
when I attended my high school reunions, that people actually thought I was more of a popular person. But I think it was only because I was the only child and I was spoiled, so I did have, like, the hottest car and I had, like, the flyest fashions because my mom always spoiled me and everything. But to me, that wasn't enough because I just wanted to be liked and accepted by everybody, and I feel like I didn't get that. And so I tried to change who I really was mm-hmm. to try to fit in, but it backfired because I still got teased. I still got called the F word mm-hmm. that rhymes with maggot.
Mm-hmm.
I got teased and bullied, and thankfully I knew how to defend myself. Mm-hmm. But I mean, there's one incident that happened to me when I was, I think I was either eighth grade or freshman in high school, where mm-hmm. these boys had lured me out into the field, and one of the boys were my neighbor, and they were going to jump me.
Oh, wow.
And I had to figure out if I was going to allow it to happen because, of course, I was outnumbered, or was I going to defend myself and mm-hmm. possibly lose the battle? And I stood up for myself. I defended myself. And I actually whooped both their asses.
Oh, see?
I did. And, you know, I just want everybody listening that have teenagers to just mm-hmm. instill that in them, let them know to never change that who they are. You have your own DNA for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
I don't live my life anymore trying to be like somebody else. There are so many people, celebrities, that yes. I grew up, not grew up with, but when I moved to Atlanta, I became friends with, befriended, mm-hmm. and I seen them when they were like nobodies. Mm-hmm. So I know their true stories.
Mm-hmm.
And I never, not once, got jealous that they have soared or gotten to a place where maybe I thought I would want to be, or mm-hmm. I never got jealous because that's their life. That's their story.
And it's not always pretty on the outside.
And it's not always pretty on the outside. And I'm grateful and I'm thankful for the life that I have now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thankful for where I am. I never compare myself to nobody else. I'm happy for everybody I know that are soaring. That's the type of energy that I have now. And I feel like you have to get to that type of level in your life to not compromise. Mm-hmm. And I know you and I were talking earlier during the music break about how there are still some things that you're working with. And it's funny mm-hmm. that you mentioned that, because that was one of the things that I was battling too when I actually got into my most recent and last relationship. And I don't know if you feel comfortable talking about that on the air.
Well, I talked about it on the Oprah Winfrey Network.
Okay.
Yeah,
well, just go. We can go into it briefly, like mm-hmm. 2 minutes about it, and I'll tell you my take on how what helped me. Mm-hmm. Because I don't know if that can help you, because everybody have their own story, their own things to face. But I feel like I can tell you my story.
This is the name of it. It's called Wendell Struggle. So yes. if you have the OWN app, the Oprah Winfrey Network, if you have the OWN app, I think it's on the OWN app.
Okay.
It's also on YouTube.
Oh, wow.
And it's on Apple. It's on Apple Podcasts, Raising
wow.
Whitley. But the show is called Wendell Struggle. And so I said to, you know, every year when you're doing a show, coming back for second season. So I was talking on the phone to one of our white producers. Mm-hmm. I didn't know she was taking notes, but we're talking on the phone. And I just happened to casually say, you know, in the black community, we are homophobic. In the black
yes.
community, in the black church community, blah,
definitely
blah, blah.
Church.
I said, and I think I sabotage relationships, because growing up in the church, you hear you're going to hell in a handbasket, and that's what you're indoctrinated. That's what you hear. It's not good to be gay. That's what the preacher talk about and all that. So I said it to Katie. I didn't know she was going to go to OWN and tell them. Mm-hmm. So you the producers, and Kim is a producer on the show. Kim never knew it was a struggle for me. So Katie... Kim wasn't there, but they go to OWN to talk about, okay, what's going on next season with OWN? What's going on with Wendell? What's going on with Kim? What's going on with Joshua? So they say Oprah's sitting in the back of the room. Mm-hmm. She's never there when they're doing this, but this time she's there. So they talk about, you know, what's going to happen next season with Kim and Joshua, and Joshua's growing up and all that. So then they get ready to end the meeting, and then Katie says, you know, I had a conversation with Wendell, and he said the black community is homophobic, and especially the black church community. She said Oprah stood up. This is all allegedly. She said Oprah stood up, walked to the front of the room, and say, I never told the story on radio, and said, Oprah said she wanted to know, would I be willing to share that on TV? She didn't want it. She don't want me making it up. Uh-huh. Nothing. Uh-huh. Don't be fake. Phone, you know, say the way it really happened. Because she said, Oprah said that, yes, that does happen in the black church community, and absolutely, nobody ever talks about it.
Absolutely.
And so I did it. So she wanted to know, would I be willing to do it? So I said, yes, I'll be willing to talk about it. And I explained to them that I said, Kim does not know this is a struggle, and I don't want her to know until we are on camera. So when we got on camera,
you got the raw reaction.
Yeah. So then I started tearing up talking about it. So then Kim is looking over what people don't see off to the side are cameras and producers everywhere. So Kim is looking like, well, what's wrong with Wendell? Yes. And the producers kept shaking their head, twirling their hands, said, no, Kim, keep going, keep going. And on camera, she says, what? Wait a minute. What's happening? And everybody turned their back to Kim and said, nope, keep going, keep going. That's how she learned being black and gay. It's a struggle for me.
Wow. Wow. And I think that story resonates with me all too well. I think it resonates with so many black gay people all too well. Because it's just one of the many things that I feel like is generational, where if you look back during the times of slavery, it's all an attribute to toxic masculinity as well in the mm-hmm. black community, where we're looked at as less than because we're gay. And it's in our community where it's so prominent. And I say that because when you think about how it was in slavery times, you had the white masters raping the women's husbands in front of mm-hmm. them to emasculate them. Mm-hmm. And that built up this whole hatred and this misunderstanding of what it's like to mm-hmm. be a black man. It's like, you know, I've seen a man just rape and break my black man down. So to hear another black man having sexual activity or liking another black man or another man, period, mm-hmm. he's less than, because that's what our ancestors saw and instilled in their children. Don't you mm-hmm. ever do that. Don't you do this because mm-hmm. that. And then you go on to the church and the Christian community especially mm-hmm. where they ridicule and talk about that. But the thing I always had an issue with, there are so many things when you talk about biblically that are written that is allegedly where you're cast as this omen pretty much, you know. Mm-hmm. But everyone always put an emphasis and a focus on homosexuality.
And not the deacons and the co-pastors sitting up in the pulpit that got side chicks.
And infidelity and alcoholism.
And some of the teenage girls in sitting in church are
pedophilia,
pregnant.
But
they're pregnant probably by the pregnant. And then your organist is gay. Your choir, male choir members are gay.
And your choir, the whole choir pretty much.
And
that's what I feel like. And I'm so thankful. I don't know if he's listening or not, but I was like that up until a past couple of years. That was one of the reasons why, honestly, I kind of pulled away from the Christian community. Mm-hmm. Because I'll never forget this one time my friend who was gay, he said, oh, man, you're going to come to church with me. My church is so great. You're going to feel like at home, because I was trying to find a new church home. Mm-hmm. And we went there, and the pastor called out in the congregation. He says, God don't want to see these sissies and your man cross-dressing in a pulpit and this and that. He was just spewing all this hatred. Mm-hmm. And I was like, my goodness, how do we preach about love and acceptance from this being that you call God or Jesus, but you're saying that he is loving and accepting of all, but he's not loving and accepting of gay people or men or women that wants to cross-dress? How is that a reflection of their heart and who they are? And I have never felt so targeted. Do you know how uncomfortable I felt sitting in that congregation as a black gay man listening to someone that I'm supposed to look up to telling me I'm not loved, I'm not accepted, and God hates me, and I'm going to be condemned and thrown in hell? For the longest, I was single because of that, because it's like I didn't understand, like, why do I feel this way? I never was molested. I was never raped. I was never, like,
right.
I didn't feel like, because I grew up with a single parent, that, oh, I'm lacking my father, so now I feel like I want to be with a man. I've always felt different. Even if I can remember to the age of 5, I felt different. I didn't know what it was at the time, but as I got older, I knew. And I felt like I'm thankful for the relationship that I have now with Uncle Daddy, because he's an ordained minister. And you would never know that, right?
Ooh, well, right. No, I ain't saying that. I've been doing all that cussing.
That part.
I cuss a lot, but I love the Lord.
But see, he explained to me. And he also, has a degree in theology.
Oh.
So he's a theologian. So he actually took the time to go to school and be educated on the origin of religion and what those literature actually means and where they stem from, and how when you read the Bible, you mistranslate it or you understand it to what you comprehend, but you cannot spew that for everyone else. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, you cannot bring in love by spewing out hatred. So with Uncle Daddy being the person that he is, he helped me build up that confidence that there's nothing wrong with me. And for the first time in my life, I have met someone that really loves me and accepts me for everything I do, every being that I am, everything. He made me feel so loved. I never had that type of unconditional love from anybody. Mm-hmm. And I said to myself, if I'm going to go to hell for being loved and accepted by this type of person, I said, I'm willing to go to hell. Because if hell is going to be something that I've never experienced while I'm here on earth, and I'm experiencing right now, I'm here on earth for not having that freedom, being who I am, then I will go to hell. And that is how I finally got over that thinking that, oh, something's going to happen to me. I don't want to live my life worrying about what someone that doesn't know what's going to happen after you die, that's going to tell me what's going to happen to me because of my sexuality.
I just always found it odd that preachers, they preach, they act like homosexuality is the hierarchy of the sins and everything else. And a sin is a sin is a sin, if you call in anything a sin. Because they don't talk a lot about, I don't know, alcoholism, overeating, drug addiction, premarital sex.
Not messing with a woman when she's on her cycle or around her when she's on her cycle.
A lot of couples in the church live together and they're not married. So my whole thing is that, but they talk about, that seems to be the one topic that they talk about a lot at a lot of the churches. So I just always find that interesting.
And it's just, you know, one of those things where, like, we got to get to a point where we as black people have, black people are the most forgiving beings on this planet. Yet, it's so hard for us to forgive our own. I never understood that. And I want to lead into the last segment I want to talk about. We were supposed to talk about sex, but we're not going to talk about that tonight. We're going to talk about that next Monday, so Wendell has to tune in from California to listen. But there's a craze going on. Well, not a craze, but an uproar going on social media circulating the rapper DaBaby. And he was at the Rolling Out concert over the weekend, and he pretty much said in the crowd, You know how people say, if you got a dollar, hold your phone up. Or if you don't care about this or that, hold your phone up, shine a light on me. So he said, he said something about women. I don't remember, but it was not to the extent of what he said about this. What I'm going to say is, he said that if you don't have HIV, if you don't have AIDS, and if you ain't sucking, if you're not a man sucking cock in the parking lot, hold your phone up. And I was just like, wow, what in the black toxic masculinity is going on? Like, really? And he don't even realize. And I don't know if anybody that's listening on the radio right now, the power that stems from the LGBTQ community. If y'all don't know, these executives and these people up in the highest positions of the music industry
and the promoters that
are gay.
Yeah.
They're gay. And it's not saying that, oh, well, you got to respect us to do that because we're going to do this to you. No, it's just asking to respect us, period. And first of all, dummy, that's what he needed to be called, not the baby, the dummy, because HIV and AIDS, they're not prejudiced.
No, they're not.
They would come and get you regardless of your sexual orientation. Mm-hmm. And not everybody contracts it from being gay. There are people that contract it from being raped, that there are people that contract it from doing drugs.
There are five needles. Routes of transmission. Dirty. I used to teach HIV education. Dirty needles, vaginal fluids, breast milk.
Yep.
There's two more. Did I say dirty needles? Dirty needles, breast milk, vaginal fluids,
anal.
Blood. Yeah. And blood. Yeah. Those are the routes of transmission.
Yeah. And so the thing is, people forget there are so much many more other diseases that are just as dangerous that, hell, you can get hepatitis from sitting on a toilet. But I think people realize that.
In the heterosexual world, and like you hear in Hollywood, everybody run around having all these babies and stuff, and you don't know if the male or the female in that couple are infected with HIV and or AIDS.
Exactly. We look at all these celebrities, how they go from one to the other, and they get pregnant, and they have these babies.
It's not a gay disease, sweetheart.
Educate yourself. It's not a gay disease. And the thing about it is there's more other diseases that can be well more serious. Well, not more serious, but I would say more just as concerning as HIV. And like I said, everybody, we got to break the fact, we got to break the opinion that it's a gay disease. It's not a gay disease. Anybody can get it. I had an aunt to die from it, and she was not gay, okay? There are other people I know that have it, and they are not gay. I have a homegirl who had openly admitted to me that she does not use condoms, and she's never been tested for HIV because she says she don't want to know if she have it. She says she have it, she'll have it, but she don't want to know. So think about all those dudes she's having sex with unprotectedly and possibly transmitting the disease. So y'all want to focus on the cancel culture and talk about all that? How about y'all cancel the dummy for real? I just think he was so sexy and so attractive. Now, for him saying that nonsense, I just look at him as a gremlin. That's what he looks like, a gremlin. Because I just can't believe he said that. I really cannot. And black people, we got to do better. We got to do better. If we don't respect each other, how in the hell do you expect everybody else to respect us? How? How do y'all sit here and say black lives matter, but you don't respect and say that the black gay life matter? But y'all love coming to us when y'all want us to make y'all look good, or when y'all want a good Judy or best friend because your girlfriends don't want to hear about the BS that you got going on with your man. But y'all love to call a man gay when he done left your ass for another chick. Like, we got to stop all that. That's all I'm going to say, because I can say more, but I'm running out of time. So I want to say, closing out, Wendell, thank you for coming and spending time with me. I love you so much because you've always been such a – you're so cool. I love you. I love you. I love you. And you guys, make sure y'all tune in. Same place, same time next week. I am Sir Ken. I am signing off.
Bye.
Y'all make sure y'all make sure y'all be safe. Just make sure y'all be safe, okay? That's all I can say. I'm signing off. Good night.